All right. If you were not here 2 weeks ago, we started teaching on a subject matter in line with our current series. So we've been teaching on a series titled Kingdom Norms and Values. Kingdom norms and values. There are things in the kingdom of God that are so precious. There are values in the kingdom of God that are right at the top there. And if you look at the values of the kingdom and the values of the system of this world, most of the time they're in contradiction. And you and I have a choice on which values we want to live by. We have a choice on which norms we want to live by, the culture within which we want to live by. Now, this morning, I want to talk about blessedness through the eyes of Jesus, part two. Blessedness through the eyes of Jesus, part two. And you'd find that the world defines prosperity in a very specific, in a certain way. You know, how you look, you know, you got to look the moment, you know, and you look very prosperous. That is why a lot of us end up in debt, because we want to go and want to look the look. That's how the world defines prosperity. It's how you look, okay? The house you live in, the number of friends you have on Facebook, okay? That's how the world defines prosperity. You will see this in my previous message. Now, last time we looked at three ways, or rather four ways, in which Jesus looks at blessedness. Number one, he says, when you are aware of your spiritual poverty, you are blessed. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Okay? And then he also says, blessed are those who mourn. So you are blessed when you mourn over sin. So when stuff happens in your life, you miss the mark. Your heart is not at peace until you make peace with God. And Jesus calls it, you are blessed. Number three, he says, you are blessed when you possess a meek attitude. When you are tender. All right? You know, they look at meekness as strength under control. You are easy to deal with. You are easy to work with at work. You know those people who are easy to work with? They make the project go easy because of how they do things. These people are meek. Number four, Jesus says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And we say it here, when you crave for upright living. In other words, your default is always, what I am doing right now, is it the right thing before God? It's not so much the good thing, because a lot of good things are not right before God, you know. So the feel good, the good feelings you have inside of you doesn't necessarily become the right thing. So Jesus was not talking about feeling good. He was talking about living right. And therefore, after everything that you do, you say to yourself, was that the right thing? And I want you to know, a lot of the times, what is right with God doesn't seem right with man. And we need to understand that issue in our lives. Now, this morning, we want to take it up from there. Let's go to Matthew 5, verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. Now, Jesus continues teaching. Remember, let me just give you a backdrop to this. This was one of the first major sermons of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And we said Jesus was coming to reset culture. Because when he came on earth, he found a culture that was not the kind of culture he wanted to continue. And he's saying, let's reset this thing. Let's press the reset button. And now he says here, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, happy are they, empowered are they, those who are people of mercy deeds. So number five, in the eyes of God, you are blessed when you abound in acts of mercy. When you abound in acts of mercy. When I was preparing this, the Lord just brought me to this season that we find ourselves in. It's not a very easy season. We are in a season where we fend for ourselves. I have to look after my family. I have to save up whatever comes my way because we don't know how long I'm going to have a job for. And in that regard, many people have become inward looking instead of outward looking. We are more interested in ensuring that there is enough for tomorrow. We talk about you got to put aside for the rainy season. I save. But at the same time, there is a principle that talks about acts of mercy. That is why more and more you find people out there asking for help. And there isn't much help coming. If you look at the donor field, the donor world, monies have dried out. And a lot of organizations are closing down. Organizations that used to look after orphans, that used to look after abused people, they are shutting doors down. Why? Money is not coming through. Things are tight. And when I look at each and every one of us, if we are not careful as a people of God, we can also go into the default and say, things are tight. I have to ensure that I save even more. You see, they talk about make hay while the sun shines, right? When I still have something coming through, let me save as much as possible. That is counterintuitive when you look at the scriptures. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I want to remind every child of God this morning, there is a norm and a value in the kingdom of God that is called giving. It's called releasing. Coming, bring it home to churches. A lot of churches have closed down because there isn't much offerings coming through. There isn't enough money coming. I was looking at our church and I said, Lord, thank you that I'm able to work a day job. I'm able to provide. Because if I was a full-time pastor waiting for tithes and offerings, I would not have been able to afford living where I'm living today. My children would have left the school where they are right now. And that's the reality of many churches today. A lot of people have clawed back into themselves. But the Lord Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you are merciful. Blessed are you when you release that which you have in your hands. Hallelujah. You see, put this down. In the eyes of Jesus, blessedness is not about what you possess, but what you release. It's not about how much I have in my house. The world counts at the rand in the account. But in the kingdom of God, we count the amount of rands we've been able to give out. You need to look at your budget and say, do I have a line item for acts of mercy? Do you know what goes off the budget when it's tight? Acts of mercy. And yet, when you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour back to you. It's not about the amount. Hear me good. It's about the principle. It's about saying, from what God has given me, I'm going to ensure that somebody else has got a loaf of bread. I'm not saying go and buy somebody a car. I'm just saying go and buy a 5 kg of mabele and bring it to a family. Come on now. That's probably 36 rand or whatever it is. It's not about the amount, but it's about saying I am blessed when I'm able to just give something into somebody's house. It's not about quantities. People stop giving 10 rand in church because they say, what will 10 rand do? Oh, you are breaking a principle. When you give your 10 rand, the Bible says, I will multiply that. And much will come back to you. Hallelujah. Some people will tell you, Pastor, I'm going to wait until I get a promotion at work. If you cannot give when you are earning 1,000 rand, when you earn 10,000 rand, you're not going to give. Do you know that your needs grow with your increase in money? Because when you got the increase last year, you changed the vehicle. You change the bed. You're like, this bed doesn't feel really nice. What's wrong with that double bed? There's nothing wrong. The issue is you just received an increase. Your hands become itchy. Come on now. Let me talk about you gentlemen. Gents, how many pairs of shoes do you have? You find that with gentlemen, you might have two pairs of shoes, which he just wears them. I mean, if you look at me, if you observe, I like these pair of shoes, the brown ones, okay? And my wife was like, aren't you going to change those shoes? I'm like, what's wrong with them? Come on now. Absolutely nothing wrong with them. But there are certain people, I'm not going to name them. Hallelujah, Jesus. The moment they wear that stiletto once, it's like, you know, I just bought a different colored dress. And I don't have a pair of shoes that goes with it. Okay. Oh, God, help me here. I have no issues with shoes. I'm just trying to make a point, okay? That sometimes we've got 16 pairs of shoes. And some of them haven't been worn in the past 4 years. This evening, when you go home, go through your wardrobe and see if you haven't worn something for the past 6 years, please give it to somebody. Come on now. Can somebody say hallelujah to that? Give it to somebody. Acts of mercy. Each one of us are able to operate in this dimension. It's because we haven't looked close enough in our cupboards. You know, people, stockpilers. I have a stockpiler in my house. She buys in bulk. And then when she brings more, she pushes back the new ones. She brings the old in the front. Guys, you must eat this one first. Maybe it's time to give away that stuff. Acts of mercy. Glory to Jesus. Acts of mercy. Ooh, hallelujah. Does somebody hear me this morning? Each one of us are able to operate in acts of mercy. When you start small, it gets easier and easier and easier. Talk about the church of Macedonia. It was not a rich church, but the Bible says out of their poverty, they gave much. And Paul was so proud of this church. He said, they surpassed our expectations. They gave themselves first to God and then to us. You see, when God has you, he has your pocket. When God has my heart, he's got access to my bank account. It can be 5 rand. It doesn't matter what amount it is. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Saints, you don't know when you need mercy. You stock up mercy for yourself. And when the day that you need mercy, you'll get a call from somewhere. Like, God placed on my heart to do this for you. And say, Lord, where is this coming from? You stocked up mercy 5 years ago. Hallelujah, somebody. Let me tell you something. Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible says, for the Lord, 6 verse 10, for the Lord does not forget the ministry that you do, even that which you continue doing to the people of God. Some of you have forgotten the acts of mercies you did 10 years ago. But in the account of heaven, oh man, it speaks back. It speaks back. And this thing that you did speaks, calling back to the Father. Remember, remember, Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, the Bible says the Lord came and says, your acts of goodness and prayers have come before me as a memorial, and therefore it is time for your soul to be saved. I will get a Peter here to bring salvation into your family. Oh, acts of mercy will open up doors for you that no other person can open for you. You don't have to shout when you do acts of mercy. The Bible says, when what your right hand does, your left hand must not know. What you do in the dark, in the secret, the Lord will repay in public. Everybody will see things happen in your life. And they will start saying, Lord, the same way you have blessed her, you will bless me. You don't know what she did in the bedroom. You don't know. acts of mercy. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when you look at acts of mercy, a person that is merciful is compassionate towards the disadvantaged. Compassionate towards the disadvantaged. Do you have disadvantaged people around you? You know? But a person of mercy looks at a child and their heart is drawn to the child. A person of mercy looks at a person asking for food and their heart is drawn towards them. Another issue, a person of mercy is sensitive to those whom he has power over. You see, many of us, maybe you are privileged to have somebody helping you at home. How do you treat them? That person that cleans, that makes sure that the bedroom is clean. The person that makes sure that the children are bathed. My question is, how do you treat them? Do you treat them as part of the family? Or you treat them as outsiders? When she had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, did you buy a cake for her? Come on now. Let's talk about it. We need to think about these things. You have an issue when your boss does not pay you on time, but you've got no issue with holding pay for her. Acts of mercy changes the way we deal with people around us. At work, you have people that report to you. Do you treat them as human beings? I work in the construction industry, and I see how some managers treat foremen, how they treat bricklayers, how they treat plasterers, as if they are trees, as if they are instruments. And yet you're talking to a father who has a wife and who has children. This person goes back home feeling so down and low because you treated him like a dog. And I say to myself, I will never do that to anyone who works with me. I remember telling one of the guys who works with us, and I said to him, can I tell you something? This might be a different thing from what you've experienced. You don't work for me. You work with me. That changes the dynamics. When you tell somebody that you don't work for me, you work with me, it creates a different atmosphere, and that is mercy. You have people that work under you. May the Lord help you to start seeing them through the eyes of Jesus. When they walk through that door, this person is coming from a place where a boy said, Daddy, have a good day at work. This mother came from a place where the husband said, Honey, may you have a great day at work. Sensitive toward those you have power over. James 2 verse 15, I'm going to run out of time today, but let's see. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them those things which are needful to the body, what good is it? What good is it? You know, this issue of somebody asking you, like, you know what, I'm running dry. Can you please help me? And then we say these things. You know, it sounds very spiritual, eh? Go in peace. Be warmed and filled. I wish you the blessings of God. I wish you the provision of God. Do you think that is faith building over this person? Instead, you know what we should do? If this person is asking for 5,000 rand, you take out 100 rand, what you have. You say, my brother, this is all I have. May the Lord multiply it. That changes the dynamics. Instead of saying, may the Lord go with you, may the Lord provide. You know, we pray for you. He does not need prayer right now. He needs something. My Bazalwani, We have to change the way we do things. I'm talking about values and norms in the kingdom of God. You see, it's pride to say to yourself, this amount is too small to give. I mean, I deal with it with my wife all the time. And I thank God for her. She challenges me. I struggle to give small things. But she'll say to me, no, just give what you have. And I have to swallow my pride. Maybe it's because I want to be seen as this guy who gives outrageously. I don't want to be known by as that guy who gives small change. I'm confessing now, okay? Maybe I'm saying, they'll think I'm a poor guy because I only gave 10 rand towards the 10,000 rand. It's pride. May the Lord deliver us from that, because we are blocking the kingdom system from operating. Because it's not about what you give, it's the heart and the attitude with which you give. You see, I can give the 2,000 rand and receive nothing from heaven because I've done it in order to prove a point. I've done it for me to be known as the most generous guy around the neighborhood. And the Bible says you've already received your reward. So many of us have been wasting seed. Come on now. Huh? We waste seed by the attitude with which we give. And yet that 10 rand would have been the best seed you would have given. And a great harvest would have come out of it. Because you're saying to the Lord, this is all I have, Lord. This is all I have, Lord. You know, when you read in the book of Romans, there's a place where Paul actually prays for the church at Rome. And he says, I pray for you so that when you receive the gift, you might receive it with the right attitude. I'm talking about the attitude this morning. So, when you show mercy, so look at this, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender feelings of mercy. Put on, it's like a garment. When you walk into somebody's office, what garment are you wearing? Garment of aggression? Garment of arrogance? But Paul says, dress on tender feelings of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Glory be to Jesus. Acts of mercy. So I want you to understand, in the kingdom of God, there's a reciprocity. There is the whole issue of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm not talking about karma. I'm talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. What you give in the kingdom of God, the Bible says you will receive. Okay? Now, in brackets, a lot of Christians don't understand the concept of karma. And you hear Christians talking about karma as well. No. You see, karma talks about the afterlife. It talks about how you ensure that your incarnation is going to be better off based on your acts. Okay? So you save yourself. So you come back as a nice horse because you're very nice in this life. Okay? So if you are not very nice, you come back like a frog. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's karma. But here I'm talking about a principle of sowing and reaping. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with what you know, whether you will enter into heaven or not. You enter into heaven through the finished works of Calvary, through what Jesus did for you. It's not by your works. Yes, there will be a reward in heaven, but entering into the kingdom of heaven, it's done when you say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me a child of God. Glory be to Jesus. Now, look at this. Let me just try and finish this point. You see, when you give to the poor, it's like lending to God. Think with me. When the bank lends you money, When you pay back, they always tell you it is prime plus two. Okay? You pay back with interest. So if you borrow money to pay your car, you don't pay back the capital only, you pay back with interest because you have made use of the bank's money. Now look at this, Proverbs 19 verse 17. Kindness to the poor is a loan to the Lord, and he will repay the lender. You see, man, I want to lend to God. I want to loan God some money. I want to ensure that, you see, think about Richard Branson, the guy who owns Virgin Active, you know, whatever. If you give him money, just imagine how much he's going to pour back to you. Now we think about the Lord Jesus. Think about King, the King of Glory, the owner of the universe and the earth. The Bible said the earth and its fullness belongs to him. When you lend to God, he will pay back not just the capital, but with interest. Hallelujah. Do you get something there? I'm going to stop there on this point. So I'm saying here, in the eyes of Jesus, when you operate in mercy, you are blessed. But in the eyes of the world, you are weak. Because when you treat people that you work with tenderness, they say this manager has got no backbone. They will label you weak. And for a season, they might think of removing you because you're not shouting and screaming. But the things of God will always work. Hallelujah. Secondly, let's look at the last one. That was an awesome one, right? We got inspired. But let's take it deeper. The Lord Jesus says, when you walk with a pure heart, you are blessed. Because you will see God. So, the next dimension of blessedness is this instrument called heart. Read with me verse 8 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? I want you to read with me on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they have a privilege to have access to God. When you have access to God, you have access to everything that is in God. And now he says here, if you are to walk in blessedness, something has to happen in your heart. And the question this morning is this: how blessed are you really? How blessed are you really? And how much do you want to walk in God's blessings? And Jesus says the condition of your heart can either unlock or lock your blessings. The conditions of my heart can either open doors of blessings or close the doors. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Who is at the seat of your heart right now? Let's look at this issue of purity. What is a pure heart? You see, a pure heart is a heart that is purposely committed to accomplishing God's will for God's glory. A pure heart is a heart whose intention is to pursue the will of God for his glory. So, one cannot be pure of heart unless they're born again. It doesn't matter how good your heart is. If your heart is without Jesus, it's not pure. You know, there are a lot of good-hearted, you hear me? Good-hearted non-believers. But a lot of good-hearted non-believers are on their way to damnation unless they meet Jesus. So there is no purity in your heart that is without Jesus. So that's the starting point this morning. If you are hearing me right now online or right here in this congregation, do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior? Have you come to that place where you realize my life is incomplete? There is this sin in my life I cannot deal with. But Jesus says, come to me, all you that are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. The rest that we need first is rest from our sins, and then other rest can come through. Glory be to Jesus. And so Jesus is talking about a pure heart. It is a heart whose purpose is committed to accomplishing God's will for God's glory. And I want to ask you this morning, are you driven by a desire to do the will of God for you whilst it is still called day? You might be young. You're not going to remain young forever. There's coming a time where your knees won't have strength anymore. There's coming a time when your eyes will not be seeing clearly as you see right now. There's coming a time where you won't be able to chew bones like you're doing right now. There's coming a time where you lose your teeth. Whilst you have time on your side, rise up and pursue God's will for your life. Amen. A time will come where you have no energy in your bones. The Bible talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. A time will come where you will have no strength or energy to evangelize. Lying there on your bed. There's coming a time where your head will start blooming white. It talks about snow on your head. I've made peace with that snow on my head. It seems to have attacked me like a furious lion. Lord Jesus, thank you for these white hairs. It speaks of wisdom. At least people can look at me with respect. Uncle G, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. You know, when you can't climb these stairs, that is why when we build our church, one day we won't be going upstairs. If there's a stair, we'll put in there a paraplegic lift so that all the old people can still get to church. Oh, hallelujah. Now, purity, it's about pursuing the will of God for your life. For his glory, hallelujah. It is also a heart without mixture. A heart that pursues only the Lord and takes the Lord as its exclusive goal. Mixture, purity. You know, when you talk about jewelry, a lot of people have got gold jewelry. But really, is it gold? Okay. Is it gold or it's alloy, you know, or it's gold plated? You know, when you go into a jewelry shop, there are grades. There are levels. Okay? But they seem to have the same color. Okay. One is for 20 rand. The same shape, the same size, you go up, you look at the same thing. Here it's a 3,000 rand. But but it's the same thing, eh? It looks the same, but it's not the same. One is pure, the other one is mixed. Okay? The other one is gold plated. The guy tells you, that looks beautiful on you. But when you apply perfume, don't apply on it. Because when you apply perfume on it, it's going to wear out. Hey guys, let's be careful. When you buy your wives these things, okay, put a disclaimer and say, my wife, this one is beautiful on you. However, when you spray, don't spray on it because it's going to wear out. It becomes bronze after a while. Why am I going there? I'm talking about purity. You see, when your heart is pure, its pursuit is not mixed. There are people whose heart is divided between pursuing Jesus at the same time trying to pursue something else. Try to ride two horses at the same time, with one leg on one horse and another leg on another horse. For 5 meters, you can make it, brother. But after 5 meters, you're not gonna make it. I'm talking about a pure heart this morning, where the Lord Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Mixture. Jeremiah writes to the people of Israel, and he says in chapter 4:14, O Jerusalem, cleanse your heart from evil, so that you may be saved. How long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? How long shall your vain imaginations be party to the heart that is meant to be given to God? Oh, God, church, would you cleanse your heart? Would you consider your ways? In the book of Haggai chapter 1, after the captivity came out of Babylon and they were about to rebuild the house of God, they said, for a moment, let's build our own houses. And the Bible says for 16 years, they did not touch the house of God. And the prophet Haggai came and he says, is it okay for you to live in sealed houses whilst the house of God is lying in ruins? Consider your ways. You'd find that in Haggai chapter 1. It's a book in the Bible. Hallelujah. Pure heart. Pure heart. You see, your heart is vulnerable to impurities. My heart is fragile and needs to be guarded. It needs to be hemmed in. You need to guard it with jealousy, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it proceeds the issues of life. Guard your heart. Protect your heart from things that can defile what comes out of it. That is why Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, put this down. Your heart is a place of great contestation. With Jesus and the devil on either sides, asking for a place at its center. The devil wants the seat of your life. He wants to sit in your heart right now and to control the proceedings of your life. At the same time, the Lord Jesus is asking, can I have access to your heart? Can I determine the obsessions in your heart? David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. So there's this contestation that is going on in the spiritual realm right now. And there's a call from heaven saying, can we have access to that instrument? And put this down. The second question is, not question, whoever controls your heart controls your life. Whoever controls the seat of your emotions controls your life. And this morning, saints, I want you to realize that true Christianity lies in the purity of our heart, and God deals with us in line with our hearts, not in line with what we do on the outside. And this is what we need to know. As your heart goes, so goes your life. If there's bitterness in your heart, so goes your life. When you pick offense where offense should not be picked, so goes your life. So your life gets tainted with offense because your heart has been defiled. The Bible says the good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart. The good man brings good things out of the treasure of his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. Well, the evil is also called treasure, by the way. Out of the evil treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you see, you can't fake it long enough. It's a matter of time before your words reflect what's on your heart. It's a matter of time before your mouth betrays you. You can speak all Christian lingo, but if I come to your house for a bribe, it's a matter of time before it slips out. Maybe that's why you guys are not inviting us for bribes. Come, let's deal with this thing. Maybe you need to deal with your heart, then maybe we can have access to your homes. It's because you're like, hey, if these guys come here, they might hear me throwing blanks. And they all lose the Holy Ghost in their hearts because of my words. No, let's deal with the heart, because it will direct our words over time. Hallelujah. Now, David was a man who was on a journey with God. And from time to time, he asked God to come and do an inspection job over his heart. I thank God for David. He was a smart man. He did not say, I'm going to do an inspection job on myself. Can I tell you something? When you inspect your heart, you will find nothing except perfection. I'm going to say that. When I inspect my heart, I find nothing wrong with my heart. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is great. It's like a pruned garden with green lawns flowing down the porch. Everything is great. But David said, I'm going to lie to myself. I need somebody who is higher and above me to look down into my heart. And that is when he said, search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Woo. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search my heart, O God. Test me. That's a very dangerous prayer. Because when you pray that prayer, it's not like he searches you when you're lying on your bed then waiting for him to search your heart. No. He sets up situations in your life that will expose that which is in your heart. And you're like, why am I experiencing this? Why is everybody on my case? Search time. Hello? You prayed last night, Lord, search my heart. And He's doing it. He's using your boss. He's using your wife. He's using your friend. They are not your enemies. They are instruments of righteousness towards your life. When you... Oh, search my heart, Lord. Search my heart, Jesus. Test me and see if there's an offensive way. Oh, yes. An opportunity to pick offense will come. So when we pray certain prayers, let's be ready for the answers, because he will answer them. Dangerous prayers. Purify my heart. Search my heart deep within. I choose to be holy. Really? Sister, you ready for this? Sorry, it was an ambush, that song. And we all sang it. We all declared we're very spiritual. Lord, purify my heart. Guess what? Tomorrow it's going to start. The process is about to start. It will even start right now. What you going to do about it? Take back that song. And say, Lord, I'm going to shelf this one for a couple of weeks until I'm ready. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Father, I pray for your people. They sang this song this morning. Let strength be given to them. Courage for this week, Lord, as you do your searching business. Hallelujah. Yes. How about you today? Are you ready to search yourself, or you want him to do the searching? Like gold that is put into the fire. Like gold, you and I shall be put into fire. I don't know the type of fire that you're going to go through this week, but it's all for his glory. Let's take it in the chin and keep moving. Hallelujah. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This one will lie even to its own owner to say, I'm okay when you're not okay. Okay, let me just give you one blow and we're going to finish because of time. What is one of the major defilers of our hearts? You know, there are a lot of things. I can talk about bitterness, anger, lack of forgiveness and all of that stuff. I can talk about all of these things. But as I was preparing, this was brought on my heart and I think it's for you this morning. One of the major defilers of the heart is this thing called haughtiness. A haughty spirit. What is haughtiness? Maybe you've never heard that word. It's in the dictionary, by the way. You can go and check Oxford and Google meaning of haughty. It will come up, pop up. Okay. A haughty spirit is simply an unhealthy focus on self. It's when you have an unhealthy focus on yourself, which causes you to behave in a certain way. Okay. I can hear some kids are becoming restless. Maybe they're saying, Pastor, it's too long, but I'm going to finish just now. You see, haughtiness, let's define it a little bit, if you can give me that slide. You see, proud and disdainful. That's haughtiness. When you are proud and there's disdain in your heart. When you are having a high opinion of yourself. Okay? When you have some contempt towards others because you view yourself very high. In other words, there's a high level of loftiness and arrogance. Ooh, pecked. It's about you. Me, 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 me. Give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. If I don't receive it, it won't go anywhere. If my opinion is not heard, no opinion will be heard. Come on now. When you are haughty of spirit, even God finds it difficult to lead you. That is where the children of Israel were called stiff-necked. So if you are stiff-necked, you cannot turn. You can't. You are fixated in one direction. It's because of self. You are more important than your neighbor. Road rage. You are more important. Your time is more important than his time. You lose patience in the queue waiting to pay for your electricity. Why? Because your time is more precious than his time. You bribe at home affairs to jump the queue because your time is more important than everybody else's time. A haughty spirit. I want you to know everything else can be drawn back to self. When I go to work, self is with me. When I go home, self is with me. When I come to church, self is with me. And you know what? My biggest problem is not with you. It's with me. Haughty spirit. Sometimes haughtiness manifests as a sense of superiority complex. You think you're more important. Look guys, I'm a pastor. I must have a parking lot, a parking bay that's written Pastor M. And anyone who parks there is called to order. You know, my car, I can't even drive my car anymore. I need a driver. Who wants to be my driver here? I don't have a driver. Come on, guys. Anybody who just got their license, still excited about driving fast, I need a fast driver. Haughtiness gets us into spaces that defiles our hearts. Let me make the last statement. Impurities in our heart makes our heart blind to God and to the things of the Spirit. That is why we need to sing that song. If I can have Uncle G up. Sorry. I want us to, as we finish off today, merciful acts of mercy and a pure heart this morning, to just talk to the Lord. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's all right. Thank you. To be able to be honest with God and say, Lord, I've developed stinginess. I've not been able to do this. May you please release me, enable me to operate in this dimension. Or maybe, Lord, I've been full of self lately. Lord, I need your grace this morning. Oh, Spirit of Jesus, we just pray today. Lord, I've taught your word. Lord, let your word do its work in the hearts of your people. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Speak to Jesus. Speak to the Spirit of the living God right now. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we pray today. Search us, O God, and purify our hearts. Father, do what you alone can do. Father, we open up our hearts to you tonight, this morning. My Father, come and do what you alone can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we need you this morning. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. Lord, we cannot, but you can. And so, Father, this morning we present ourselves to you. We want to be usable in your hands. Father, we give you glory today. We give you praise. King of glory, help us as we get into this new week. Do a work that you alone can do, we pray. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, that it goes before us. We thank you that your grace is sufficient at all times. Holy Spirit of God, we need you this morning. In the name of Jesus. With our heads bowed down, I want to give somebody an opportunity today. You are here, you've heard this word, but you've never given your life to Jesus. You see, it's not good people that go to heaven. It's people that have come to the knowledge of Jesus. It's people who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. You see, all of us were born in sin. You might be a good guy, you might be a good lady, but it's not about that. We were all born in sin. We need saving. So if you are here today, just lift your hands. I want to pray with you right now. You haven't given your life to Jesus. If you are here, open your heart to Jesus and lift your hands, and I will pray with you. Because Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to save you. He wants to start a new work in your heart right now.